Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on soil, grass, and cancer right after this. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, which was negotiated by Moses out of Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. These are benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Now, our President George Bush said that what Americans wanted, though, was jobs, jobs, jobs. But, you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution and wrote our Bill of Rights or the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. Real wealth is not measured in jobs, 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 and that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. It's not in public business, and it's certainly not in jobs, jobs, jobs. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I cash in on our inheritance and learn how to collect those benefits of that old covenant contract, and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's real property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how to do just that, why don't you call for information on our CD Home School for Adults, and while you're at it, order our free general law CD package at the same time. It didn't cost anything. All you have to do is call and ask for it. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Now, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, click on that archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. All right, we've been talking about soil, grass, and cancer. Last time, we took up a couple of elements. They're called dust. Dust. In the Bible, we read a term early on about Genesis 2 or 3. It says, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Our human physical bodies are made up of the components and elements of the earth. In fact, they've even come up with a value for it. I was looking here one time in a paper, and they said, if you take the average human being at 170 pounds, the average man, 170 pounds, his body was worth $8.42. That's right. If you were to take the amount of copper, iron, manganese, all of the elements of this guy's body, and just break them down, and how many pounds of manganese and copper and iron and so on do you have? And the answer was $8.42. Now, it's quite a few years ago. I imagine with inflation in today's terms, it might be three times that. But here's the point. Your body is made up of so many pounds of copper, so many pounds of iron. And when we translate that into nails or, you know, radiators, copper radiators or manganese or anything else, there's a specific value that can be attributed to that. Not much, you know, $8 isn't a hell of a lot, but 170 pounds of human flesh is running around made up of one of those 92 natural elements that make up our Earth. In fact, if you look at the atomic table of elements, you'll find that there's about 92 of those, as I recall. Now, there's some man-made elements that go along with that and boosted it up over 100. But the moral of the story is that when God designed the Earth, he made certain elements in it, and when he made you and me, he made us up out of the dust of the ground. That's what Adam was made out of, remember? Dirt, dust. And so, in order for us to maintain our health, maintain our vitality, we have to replace those as they are used up or as they are diffused. So, in chapter 22, the soil, through foodstuffs, can control specific immunity. Immunity, that's a disease, and you have an immunity to this disease. Now, disease in the final analysis is simply a nutritional deficiency. That's all we're really dealing with. One or two things. It's either a nutritional deficiency or you're being poisoned. And that'll cause you to have the shakes, or it'll cause you to have pyorrhea, some kind of a symptom. So when your teeth are rotting out of your head, that's a symptom of a nutritional deficiency. I know somebody's telling you to brush your teeth three times a day and get rid of the bacteria, but you know, horses don't have cavities. Horses don't brush their teeth. Horses have bacteria in their mouth. I've never seen a horse with dental caries, and I've never seen a cow with dental caries. Of course, I've never seen a horse sucking on a Coke or a cow downing a 7-Up. Now, diseases in poultry as a result of domestication. Now, the animals whose environment and genetic characters have been most upset by man are probably poultry. As a result, they are liable to a magnificent variety of civilization diseases. But this situation has at least the advantage of making it possible to study the influence of feeding on their specific resistance to various bacteria, viruses, and parasites. Now, vitamin A is a defense weapon against certain bacteria. Now, it has been seen that the carotene content of plants is governed by the mineral elements in the soil. Investigations into poultry diseases have demonstrated the important role of vitamin A in specific resistance, thus revealing through this particular vitamin the influence of the soil on specific immunity. One of the best known examples is that of white scour or pulorosis caused by bacterium against which vitamin A has markedly anti-infectious effects. When a flock of birds infected with pulorosis was divided into two groups, it was found that the development of the disease was greatly reduced in the group receiving a diet rich in vitamin A as compared with the group deprived of this vitamin. Now, there is a role of amino acids in specific resistance against certain parasites. Many poultry infections are caused by worms, such as the Escherichia galli worm. It has been observed that the resistance of chickens to these worms is considerably increased by an abundance in the ration of such amino acids as lysine and leucine. And it is also a well-known fact that skimmed milk increases the resistance of chickens to many sorts of parasites. And Hansen, in 1953, was able to show that this was due to its content of the amino acids lysine and tryptophan. Mineral elements in the soil determine the percentage of the various amino acids in the nitrogenous fraction of plants. And the phenomena observed in poultry will extend to other species also is a justified assumption. And it may be supposed, therefore, that the dusts of the soil in modifying the amino acid composition of vegetable foodstuffs affects the specific resistance of the organism to bacteria as well as to parasitic worms. Now, you know, that's pretty important. Let's stop and think about this for a minute, because they got this thing coming around here. It's called the flu, you know, the H1N1 virus. Now, they call this the swine flu because it got started down in Yucatan on one of these big corporate 10,000 pig or 10,000 sow pig pens, one of these big pig operations. And when we industrialize our agriculture, we make a great big fetid, nasty, stinking mess. I mean, come on. You know, if you took 10,000 people and you locked them up in little cages and then let them walk around in their feces and their urine, don't you think that would be a dirty, filthy, disease-infested environment? Well, then what makes us think that by letting cattle run around on a feedlot, laying down in and walking around in their own manure, isn't just as debilitating to cattle as it would be to humans if they locked us up in a pen and then let us do it on the floor and then walk around in it? Huh? What do you think of that? Because that's the way we raise cattle and chickens, you know, and pigs. And then these diseases get started in these places, and then they get transported around. Now, out in the natural world, if you just leave things alone, you don't have much in the way of disease. You know, the deer run around out in the forest and they eat acorns and grass, and they just kind of get along kind of nice with one another. And we notice that when we have cattle and they're out here on pasture and they've got access to the woods and they get all the nutrients that they need from the various plants, we don't have them. For instance, here on the farm, I've been here 25 years, and I've probably called the veterinarian out here three or four times in 25 years. Now, the other day I called him out. I'll tell you what happened. I had a cow up here die, spontaneous abortion. And then the other day I had a fresh milk cow die, and I had him come out and do an autopsy on the cow. I thought, you know, this cow's gotten into some kind of poison or something. But two of them died this year. Now, in the 25 years that I've been here, the cows die once in a while, but you know, it's pretty damn rare. Last time I had a nice big heifer, probably 10, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, and went down the lane, there she was, just laying there dead. A little froth coming out of her nose and mouth. And I didn't call for an autopsy to figure out, you know, what had killed her. Sometimes what happens is that they'll get a hold of some netting off of a hay, goes down into their pyloric valve and plugs it up. And once they get that plug, you know, in their gut, it kills them. And so, you know, we watch out for things like that, but, you know, sometimes it slips up on you. Well, anyway, when the second cow died, you know, he took a look at her, and he went all through this cow. And come to find out, she got plugged up, but she got plugged up from cancer. Yes, for Rebob, this cow had cancer. And that can happen, but you know, it's caused by a nutritional deficiency is what it is. Nutritional deficiency. And this cow got cancer, and it got into the valve between the third and fourth stomach, and it plugged up that valve, and then, of course, the cow, she didn't die from cancer. Cancer was the cause of the plug between the two stomachs, and she died of toxicity. See, she couldn't digest her food, so she bloated. What she did, she actually died of bloat. Died of bloat caused by a plug between the two stomachs, which was caused by cancer. The tumor plugged it up. Now, cancer happens. All of us have cancer. Did you know that? Every human being born has cancer. And we have cancer all of our lives. And every single one of us has cancer all of our lives. And cancer is a disease. You know, we call this a disease. And hell, you know, we have bacteria running around in our bodies all the time, and we have defense mechanisms. It's our immune system. And so you're walking down the street, and you inhale some pneumonia germs or flu germs or viruses. And your body has T cells, and it has white corpuscles, and it runs around in your bloodstream, and it cleans your bloodstream out. It captures these bacteria and viruses and one thing and another and kills them, and then it is disposed of. And that's just a natural process of life. And as long as your body's in good health and it's your good nutritional balance and you've got all the vitamins and minerals that you need, you'll never have disease. And most of the time, you don't have disease. See, most of the time, you've got enough nutrients and enough vitamins and minerals in your body there to keep you in good health. And then you get the cold, or you get a sore throat, or you get some symptoms of some kind. Well, all we're dealing with here is that you've got some toxins coming into your body, or you've got some nutritional deficiencies. That's how simple that is. Now, if it's chronic, I mean, if you've got Parkinson's disease, you know, Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's disease. So let me tell you what happened to Mike. Nice guy. He's a young man, or at least he was when he first got Parkinson's. Promising career in the movies. And this is a debilitating chronic disease because you get to shaking, say, and then you can't see, your voice is affected and you can't speak well. And so his career as a movie star was cut short. Now, Michael J. Fox drinks diet soda. And this diet soda has aspartame in it, and aspartame has 92 symptoms, and one of the symptoms is Parkinson's disease. And so he's out here trying to get you to give money to the Parkinson's people over here so they can find a cure to Parkinson's disease. So let me tell you what the cure to Parkinson's disease is. If you'll take the aspartame poisoning out of your diet and then chelate the toxins out of your diet, the aspartame poisoning or the Parkinson's symptom will go away. And it's no big mystery. It's been known for a long time. Now, most people out there don't know it. So if you've never heard this before, that's nothing new. And if you're sitting there saying, why, that can't be true. Why, if that was true, why the Department of Energy or the government would know about that? Well, you're right. The government knows about that. But just because they're not telling you doesn't mean that I'm not giving you a correct report here. Let me show you a little something here. There's a lot of information out here in the world. And right now, in the world, 90% of all of the scientists, these are the people, you know, with the white coats that are walking around experimenting with bacteria and viruses, you know, in the laboratories. And you know, those are doctors and medical doctors. Well, there's other scientists out there. There's scientists out there. They're studying physics. And we don't know everything that there is to know about physics, and we don't know everything that there is to know about medicine. We don't know everything that there is to know about astronomy. And so these scientists, these philosophers, and sometimes they're professors, you know, they got PhDs piled higher and deeper after their name. All these people, they're out there working hard, spending your tax dollars, trying to learn more, trying to find out more. And that's because they don't know everything. In fact, if you want to know how much has been known, you go over here to Job chapter 37, I believe it is. Job, the book of Job. Job, J-O-B, chapter 37. And there was a pretty smart guy. This guy's name is Job. He's the guy who built the Great Pyramid. In case you were wondering, you know, well, who built the Great Pyramid? Well, the guy's name was Job. J-O-B wrote a book called the Book of Job in the Bible. To build the Great Pyramid required a great engineer. Now, this guy was a great engineer, as is evidenced by his big building over there. But God gave him a scientific test, and he gave him a 40-part test, 40 questions in the test. Now, when he gave him this test, it was about 1600 B.C. So in 1600 B.C., Job took a scientific test, and he flunked. He failed miserably. The guy that built the Great Pyramid took a scientific test and failed. Out of 40 questions, he couldn't answer a single question. Now, today, we're smarter than we were back in Job's day, 1600 B.C. If you take those same 40 tests today, the same 40 questions in a test today, we can answer 10%. We are 10% smarter today than we were in 1600 B.C. Now, that means we're unable to answer 36 questions. Now, that being the case, I will ask you, do you know everything there is to know in the world? And if your answer to that is no, I probably don't know everything there is to know in the world. Okay, well then do you know half of everything there is to know? And if your answer to that is, well, I probably don't even know half of everything that there is to know, okay? Then let me ask you, could it be that what I just told you is a small part of that one half of everything that there is to know in the world that you haven't heard yet? Because there's a bunch of it. Now, I wish I'd have thought of that, but that was Kent Hovind that came up with that idea. And then I think he was exactly correct. The same thing is true right here of what we're dealing with. Just because you have never heard of this before doesn't mean that it isn't true. Now, Michael J. Fox will go to his grave with Parkinson's disease, and I'm sure that his death certificate is going to record Parkinson's as the cause of death. But the reality of it is that the poor guy has aspartame poisoning. He's got symptoms, and he's out here looking for a cure. Well, hell, the cure is to stop poisoning yourself. Or I guess put another way, I want to eat arsenic, but I want the antidote to arsenic. Well, you can do that. The antidote to arsenic is activated charcoal. Now, that was tested way back in 1806. Write that down. Might need it someday. A French chemist testing arsenic. Took 3 grams of arsenic, followed by massive doses. I never did like that massive dose answer there because it doesn't tell me how much antidote do you need, but it was massive doses of activated charcoal. And that's because charcoal will absorb 60,000 times its own weight in toxins. This is why the Jack Daniel's distillery runs all their whiskey through and charcoal distilled whiskey. They call it charcoal distilled. That's why it's called mellow sippin' whiskey, charcoal filtered. Now it takes out these toxins, and that's what activated charcoal will do. It'll absorb that, it'll surround and take up that arsenic and then dispose of it. And this French chemist did that, and everybody thought, well, that's pretty amazing. Okay? Same thing's true today. I mean, if you've got toxins, I guess you could probably drink Diet Coke, followed by massive doses of activated charcoal with no ill effects, I guess. I've never tested that, so I don't know that, but it will absorb those toxins. Now, if you've got aspartame disease, I talked about this earlier, you can stop taking the aspartame in, and then you can get rid of the aspartame that's in your body with activated charcoal. And then you'll probably get over your symptoms, you know, unless you've screwed up some nerve endings or something like that, and it's a permanent disability, and you know, there's nothing we can do with it. It's kind of like, you know, gouging your eyes out. You know, now you're blind. Well, you know, there's not much we can do for that kind of blindness. All right, now with that little bit of understanding out of the way, there's a role of amino acids in specific resistance against certain parasites. Now, many poultry infections are caused by worms, and it's also well known that skim milk increases the resistance of chickens to many sorts of parasites. And mineral elements in the soil determine the percentage of the various amino acids in the fraction of plants. All right, so now here's what we discover. When the chickens have worms, we give them skimmed milk, which contains the minerals that they need to develop the resistance, that is, the immune response, to dispose of the worms. See how simple this is? All right, now, let's suppose that you've got worms. All of us have worms. We won't suppose it. Hell, all of us have. So my old granny, when I was a kid, she used to worm me. Hey, take your worm medicine, she called it. I don't know what she was giving me, but I take this worm medicine. Now, I never did have a lot of these worms, you know, like the kids had when I was a kid. And that's because my granny was busy killing those worms about 3 times a year, 4 times a year, about every 2, 3, 4 months. You know, she'd dose me with this worm medicine. Now, today, people, nobody takes worm medicine today. I don't know of anybody that's being wormed. And one doctor pointed out, I think it was Hulda Clark, that in every case of cancer that she studied, the patients had worms, intestinal parasites. One doctor, back in 1909, made an observation in his practice. He said he had never treated a person with cancer that had not been vaccinated. Every patient, he said, had been vaccinated that had cancer. Hulda Clark said every one of them's got parasites. All right, so these are little leads, you know, that tell us a little piece of the story. Now, what's causing our diseases? What's making this happen, you know? Well, it gets started over here because your worms are getting out of control. They have a lot of toxins. These worms give off toxins. These toxins are carcinogenic, and they cause the cancer to grow. You've got the cancer to start with. We all do, but it's under control. But, you know, you get worms in your system over here, and then you don't get rid of the worms. You don't kill them. And then the worms, you know, they have to go poop. Yeah, it's true. The worms are eating your food in your stomach. Sometimes they'll find a tapeworm in somebody, you know, and they get rid of it. They'll find a tapeworm. The record was 35 feet long. Can you imagine having a worm in your body 35 feet long? And that worm, now he attaches to the to the lining of your stomach or your intestine or your colon. And he's taking the nutrients out of your food that you need for your body. So people that have these tapeworms, they have great big, long, healthy tapeworms with no diseases. But it causes you to have a disease. So the problem with the parasites that you get, and you get these parasites from beef, too. So you see these beef cows, they're being fed grain. Their pH balance is out of balance while they're living on this feedlot. They're living in their feces, up to about, their hocks, 6-8 inches deep. It rains, they lay down there. It's absorbed through their skin. They develop parasites. You have parasites in the meat. You got parasites in the intestinal tract. You take this home, you cook it. You eat a rare steak, don't you? These parasites get into your stomach. Now you've got parasites. These parasites now are eating the nutrients that you're eating. Now your body is deficient in these nutrients, and now your deficient body develops a symptom. See where we're going with this? You don't have to be real smart to figure this out. And if you're as dumb as I am, hell, you can read the book just like I've done. So let me give you the title again. It's called Soil, Grass, and Cancer. There's a connecting link between the soil, which is weak, the grass, which doesn't have the nutrients, and the cancer that you're developing or that I'm developing because of sick soil, sick grass, sick cows, and sick people. That's all we're dealing with. Acres, USA. The guy that wrote the book, his name is André Voisin's Classic Test, A-N-D-R-E-V-O-I-S-I-N-S. Sounds like he's a Frenchman to me. Sounds French. This is Acres, USA. They're in Austin, Texas. And if you're looking for an address, why don't you go to Post Office Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709. P.O. Box 91299, Austin, Texas. And the zip code 78709. Now, if you'd like to give them a call first, the telephone number is 512-892-4400. Area code again, 512-892-4400. Now, every time you're missing one of these elements, you're going to develop some symptom. In the case of Michael J. Fox, he's suffering from poisoning, from what I read and what I see. He probably has some deficiencies like all the rest of us, but the moral of the story is, the main thing is, he's a spokesman for the PepsiCo company, and he's selling Diet Pepsi. Nobody's trying to kill you directly. They want you to buy more Pepsi. But you see, this aspartame is cheaper than sugar by, I think, 45 times, isn't it? Something like that. This aspartame costs a penny and the sugar costs 44 cents, so something like that. And so it makes all the sense in the world to use aspartame in the diet pop. I'm not arguing about that. It's just that it's a poison that builds up in your fat tissue, and some people are more susceptible to it than others, and they develop symptoms, and the symptoms oftentimes take the shape of Parkinson's disease. That's the poisoning side of it. The other side of it is the other half of disease is the nutritional deficiency. And what we're talking about here, In the book called Soil, Grass, and Cancer, these nutritional deficiencies that we've been testing in cattle, for the last 100 years. And there's really no big mystery about this. It works with cows, works with sheep, works with pigs, and it works with people. Now the medical doctors, they make their money selling insulin. Now, we cattlemen out here, we can't afford to be shooting our cows up with insulin, so we have to give them zinc. That's all. And we have to give our cows manganese in order to keep those cows from developing, Bang's disease and having spontaneous abortion. So here in America, when women are having premature babies, we don't sit there and say they got a manganese deficiency. We put them in incubators and we charge lots of money and we take care of these premature babies. We're not trying to prevent spontaneous abortion. That's what premature birth is. It's a spontaneous abortion. And it's caused by nutritional deficiencies. And what we need to do is to give you ladies out there more manganese. And if we did that, then that wouldn't happen. There's another one that's called the Hansen's. Is it Hansen syndrome? Mongoloid babies. There's a name for that. Hansen's disease. I think that's leprosy. But there's a disease here. It's a chromosome deficiency. And here in America, we have about 5% of babies being born that have some kind of a birth defect. So let me just pass this one on to you quickly here, and we'll take our break. Birth defects are caused by mineral deficiencies. Every single time. Every single birth defect, mineral deficiency. And in the first 56 days, from conception, 56 days, the protoplast is growing by geometric progression. It keeps doubling. On the 56th day, it stops and starts to grow arithmetically. So the baby that's going to be born at 9 months is 100% complete at the end of 56 days. And each day that goes by, there's the eyes that go in, and then there's the palate and the tongue, and all the parts of the baby are being made and created here in the mother's womb. And on the day that this cleft palate is developed, when the palate closes, the mineral, and I've forgotten the name of it now, we'll call it zinc just for the sake of our discussion, you have to have zinc. And if the mother is deficient in zinc on that day, that baby will be born with a cleft palate. Call them hare lips. Now, that's just how simple that is. No big mystery about it. So, ladies, when you have a birth defect, you had a mineral deficiency at the day, at the stage of development in your baby's protoplasm, on that particular day, you had a mineral deficiency. When it goes by, the mineral has to be there, and if it isn't there, it isn't there. Just like a car on the assembly line. When it passes the battery station, if there's no batteries, that car is going to go out the door with no battery in it because there wasn't any battery to put in it. Hey, we're at the midway point here. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you go to our website, georgegordon.org, click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use in this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program and often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listener. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about disease. We're talking about soil, grass, and cancer. The connecting link between the soil and the grass that grows in the soil, the cow that eats the grass, and the cancer that we develop by eating the cow. So disease is relatively simple. Now, there's 19 diseases, 19 diseases that or causes of disease that we see in the Bible. And there are laws that govern this. That's all we're really dealing with here is cause and effect or a law. So there's 19 laws that God has given us here in the Bible. And if you practice those 19 laws, you'll never get sick. And if you violate any one of the 19, you will always get sick, every single time without fail. So put another way, you have to break a law to get sick. So if you've got allergies, you had to break a law to get that allergy. That didn't just happen to you. People are not born with deficiencies. Now, you may think you were, but you weren't. So when God created Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, you know, he said it was good. You know, he got finished with his program. He said, hey, this is pretty good invention. And then he gave us certain laws, and then we gave him the finger, and we said, kiss off, we're not going to practice these laws. And he said, okay, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Now, one of the laws deals with soil fertility. In fact, there's two laws that deal with soil fertility. It's called the Land Sabbath and the Jubilee. And these laws are laid out in a number of places in Scripture, but Leviticus chapter 25, the whole chapter is about this thing of Land Sabbath and Jubilee. And the purpose for a Land Sabbath is to let the land rest for 1 year so that it will rejuvenate itself. The land will rejuvenate itself 1 year out of every seven, and it will maintain its fertility forever. Isn't that special? Okay, designed that way. Now, no one advertises that. Nobody is out here advocating in Land Sabbaths and Jubilees, but I just thought I would report it to you anyway, just in case you'd never heard that before. Now, there's a result that comes from that. Now, if you don't practice these Land Sabbaths, what happens? Kerry Reams demonstrated this some years back before he died, of course, but you know, some years back. Here's the way this works. They took a closed system. They took a box and closed it in with a glass, and they carefully weighed everything that was in this box, including the seed, the soil, all of the animals, and all the worms and everything that was in here. And they planted some plants and took off the fruit, and they carefully weighed everything in there. At the end of the year, the box weighed more than when they started. They carefully weighed all the water that went in. They carefully weighed everything that went in. So they demonstrated something there. The process of photosynthesis takes the light mass that comes from the earth, from the sun, and converts it into mass here on the earth. So every day that the sun shines here on the earth's getting heavier. The mass on the sun is being converted into energy, the energy to light. The light, through waves, transmits 93 million miles to the earth, is reconstituted through the process of photosynthesis in the plant, on the earth, and the earth becomes heavier from that mass. Isn't that special? Now, the process has been running for about 6,000 years, and it's going to run out in 100,000 years. So if we take a look at the rate at which the sun is being burned up today, 5 feet an hour, extrapolate that into the future, 100,000 years from now, the earth is going to be black, dark. The sun's going to burn out. So somebody has to maintain the sun. Now, there's a guy that calls himself God. He says, well, no, I maintain the heavens and the earth. It's a process that's beyond our capacity. But here on planet Earth, we do have some capacity. In fact, we got a law here. And the Creator said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to plant your crops for 6 years. And in the seventh year, I want you to let the land lay fallow. I don't want you to plant anything. What grows of itself, I want you to leave it grow. And then I want you to leave it die and go back into the soil. And that process that he calls land Sabbath over here will rejuvenate the soil. And of course, that would require that we give up 16% of our productivity. So if you were to take, you know, in a century, 100 years, you're going to have 16 of these. You're going to have seven land Sabbaths in the 50 years, and then a jubilee in the 50th year, then seven more land Sabbaths, and then one more jubilee year in the 100th year. So in 100 years, you have 16 of these rest periods, which is going to cause you to lose 16% of your productivity. 16 crops out of 100. You have to give that up. You have to put that back into the soil in order for you to maintain the soil fertility forever. Now, when we don't do that, and we just keep farming year after year after year, this is called slash and burn agriculture. We've been doing that for thousands of years. Here's how that works. We blew into Alabama, you know, us Englishmen, we blew into Alabama, and there were forests and brush down there, and so we went in there, and we burned it, slashed it, cut it down, burned it up, and we started farming. Oh, we got wonderful crops. We planted corn, tobacco, and everything just grew fine. And it does that for about 30 years. At the end of 30 years, you will notice in your corn, you're starting to get corn borers, and you'll get tobacco diseases, and the tobacco doesn't do as well. You get smaller plants, and they get more and more parasites and diseases on them. And pretty soon, it gets to the point where you can't get enough crop off of the land to make it economical, and so you just abandon it. And then you go on to another piece of land, and you slash and burn that. You cut down all the trees, and you burn it all up, and you farm that for 30 years. And then you go on to the third piece of ground and the fourth piece of ground and so on. Well, that's been going on for thousands of years. That's why we have in the Middle East, for instance, in Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia. See, those lands over there have been farmed for thousands of years and just turned into desert, just wasteland. And so then we went to Europe and we went to Siberia and we came to North and South America and we're doing the same thing over here that we did over there. We're destroying the land over here just like we have everywhere we've ever gone. But meanwhile, the world's population is going up, you know, from 1 billion to 2 billion to 4 billion to 8 billion and so on. And as I speak, there's about 7 billion people in the world, and there's not enough land. And so we had to quit this slash and burn, and we had to develop chemical fertilizers. And so we did. And these chemical fertilizers now, they're marvelous. Oh, my God, are they good? I'm not denying it. Well, chemical fertilizer is really good. It grows great, big, green, abundant crops that are deficient in all of the minerals. So back in the 1880s in Kansas, when they harvested wheat, they got wheat that had 24% protein. Today, that same country in Kansas, same farm, same land, produces 7 to 13%. We've never practiced a land Sabbath. We keep putting on more and more chemicals. And as we harvest our wheat, we get less and less protein, less and less minerals, less and less of everything. Now, the ultimate end to that is that we create total desertification and then nothing will grow, period. Kind of like the sands of the Sahara. You don't need to go out there and plant any wheat because nothing's going to grow, period. There's no nutrition in the soil, there's no fertility, and there's no rain, and, you know, we just wrecked it. All right, now that's where we're headed. We're not quite there yet. Now, for those of us that want to practice sustainable agriculture, that's what we do here on the farm here, we have to limit the amount of cattle that we can graze per acre. We have to put inputs in. We have to practice land Sabbaths and jubilees, you know, and we do that, and we have a sustainable operation. This operation here will continue on forever. Just no end. Now, unfortunately, my neighbors around me, they're not going to do that. They're going to cut down every tree. They're going to pump every gallon of water out of the ground until they turn this region into a desert. And when they do, they'll turn mine into a desert, too. My 200 acres isn't going to affect 40,000 square miles. And then it'll be totally wrecked, and then we'll have to move someplace else, or the people will die from starvation or some combination of the above. Meanwhile, while this is going on and people are eating this deficient food, they get sicker and sicker and weaker and weaker, and they die from diseases. And that's where we're at in America today. This is a very sick nation. Nearly everybody in the country has some kind of a symptom. Let me give you a number here. Write this down and give you something to talk about over dinner. In 1917, when America went into World War I, they started taking the young people of America into the army. And so the young men would go into the army for a physical, and they found out that 60% were healthy and 40% had symptoms. 40% of the men going into the military in the United States in 1917 had a symptom or more. They wore glasses. They had allergies. There was, you know, the guy had something wrong with it. Now, today, you know, just, you know, talking about where we're at today, pushing 100 years, 90 years later, 99% of Americans have symptoms. Now, just ask yourself, are you in 100% perfect health with no symptoms at all? Or do you have one or more symptoms? You've got an allergy or hay fever, or you've got ADHD, or you're dyslexic, or you know, you wear glasses or something wrong with it. Now, when you were created back at the Garden of Eden, the program called for 100% perfect for 70 years with no disease. That's what the program calls for. So if you're born and you live 70 years, then you have no colds, no flus, no diseases, no symptoms, no allergies for 70 years. You have fulfilled the design specifications for a human being. Now, if on the other hand, if at some point in that 70-year period you develop the flu or the colds or symptoms or allergies or something like that, then you had to cause that. You had to break one of these 19 health laws. I'll dig those out and we'll run over those in this series of programs. But for right now, I just wanted to give you the understanding. So here's what's causing the problem. Now, the problem begins with the soil. The soil that does not have available in it the nutrients cannot pass it on to the grass. So if the soil doesn't have any copper in it, the grass cannot have any copper in it either. So when the cow eats the grass, the cow cannot have any copper either because there's no copper in the grass. When you, the human, eat the cow, you cannot get any copper out of the cow because there isn't any there. And if you don't have any copper or vitamin A or manganese or zinc or something, you develop a symptom. That's called disease. There's 450 of them. That's how simple this is. All right. So if we're going to make any changes in this process over here, then we have to start with the soil. That's all. We're going to rebuild the soil. Now here on the farm, we are in an active, proactive process of rebuilding the soil. Now here in Ozark County, Missouri, in 1880, there was 2 feet of topsoil on our ground. Now when students come here to our school, we point out to them that there's no topsoil left. What happened to the topsoil here? Well, starting with the Civil War, we needed more and more timber to build more and more railroads. So we came in here and we clear cut this off and we just cut everything up, turned into railroad ties and bridge timbers. 40,000 square miles of it. Now, it rains here quite a bit. It still rains about 45 to 50 inches a year, but in those days it was raining 60 to 75 inches a year. Now, a tree, you just go outside here and take a look at a mature oak tree, gives off 1,800 gallons of water a year. That's 1,800 gallons. There's a word that goes into that, and I can't remember the word here now. It's turpitation or something like that. And that is, the tree is taking water out of the ground, and it goes up into the tree and out to the leaves, and then the leaves precipitate it out, and it goes up into the atmosphere, the moisture does, the water, and then it condenses into clouds, and it rains back down on the earth. So there's a cycle going on here. The rain rains on the ground, the tree picks it up, and goes out through the leaves, goes back up in, makes clouds, and then it rains back down on the ground, and that's called a cycle. Well, now, every time you cut down a tree, there's 1,800 gallons less to go up and form clouds and to rain down on the ground. So here in the Ozarks, the rainfall has dropped from rainforest at 75 inches a year down to it's below rainforest at 60 inches. I forgot what they call that now here. It is semi-arid at 20, and then a temperate, I guess it is, runs from about 30 to 60 or something like that. You know, I got graduations here. We still get plenty of rain, but it's just not rainforest rain. Down in the Amazon Basin in 1957, it averaged 120 inches a year, and today it averages 90. And we're cutting off 4,500 square miles a year of the Amazon rainforest. So from 57 to today, in roughly 60 years, we have reduced the rainfall in the Amazon Basin by 30 inches a year, 25%. Now, we did better in the Sahara Desert, the Gobi Desert, and in Saudi Arabia and Iraq and places like that. I mean, we have turned those places into desert. And that's what we're doing in Iowa. Desertification is beginning to set in Iowa, Nebraska. How do you like that? All right, now there's a cause and effect that's being created here. You know, we humans have a choice to make, and we're making our choice. Now over here in in just west of us here in Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, northern Texas, Oklahoma. There's an aquifer over there called the Ogallala Aquifer. And we're pumping water out of it. And we're pumping water out of it 10 times faster than it's being replenished. So for every gallon that goes into the aquifer, we're pumping out 9 or 10. I guess we're pumping out 10 for every one that goes in. Well, there comes a point in time when the thing goes dry. Now, in northern Texas, it's already gone dry, and it's in the process of going dry, and it's estimated that it's got about another 20 years of lifespan. We're going to pump that thing dry. We're going to mine it until there's no more water left. 50% of the food production in the United States comes off of the lands that are being irrigated by the Ogallala Aquifer. When the last gallon is pumped out, we'll have a 50% less food supply in the United States. I just thought I'd point that out to you. These are unsustainable practices. And these unsustainable practices over here are going to have a conclusion. And when the last gallon is pumped out, there'll be no more food produced, just like down in Amarillo, Texas now. They're back to dry land farming. It rains down there 20 inches a year, and what you can get off of 20 inches is what you're going to get. Now, agriculture is great, and it would be a lot better if we had more rainfall, and we get more rainfall from planting more trees. Now, in North Africa, they've planted a belt of trees from Spanish Morocco to Egypt, 30 miles wide, and they've increased the rainfall in that strip. In fact, it's increased 60 miles inland. If they'll plant another 30-mile band of trees and another 30, we can reclaim the entire Sahara Desert. And that's the way it needs to be done. But I would submit that it would be easier, faster, and better if we didn't create desertification in the Amazon Basin and in Iowa and Nebraska and Oklahoma and Kansas. It's easier to prevent desertification than it is to reclaim the desert after we've turned it into a desert. It's easier to maintain the soil and soil fertility than it is to restore the soil fertility. Remember, the book is called Soil, Grass, and Cancer. It comes from Acres USA in Austin, Texas. You can go to their website also. It's Acres USA. I'm about out of time here again, so let me give you a reminder that you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. And all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.